So it's snack time, don't forget the nap time. Rolling through to lunchtime with some outside playtime. Then it's quiet time, maybe see kids time. Scooter to a park time, now it's almost dark time. It's the Dad's Guide. Duh. Well, hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of the Dad's Guide. I'm joined by another dad, Aiden, and we are going to discuss those sometimes broad, sometimes quite specific topics from the view of a dad's perspective. We want to talk about the tips, the slips, and the things to avoid. Now, before I get sidetracked and go straight into a topic, I think it's pretty important that we start by actually introducing ourselves. So, hello, Aiden, how are you going?
Hey, I got a little bit confused. I thought this was a podcast where you and I talked about our dads and it was like some kind of therapy session. That's not what we're doing. It's not.
Yeah, no, that little awkward. That might be something else that we can look at as another side project.
I'll get rid of those notes. No, yes. Okay. hey, yes, the Dad's Guide. I'm keen. Let's do this. What qualifies us to do this, man?
I think basically it's just that we've got technological equipment and
yep.
Like everyone else, we know how to use Zoom now. If we were going to go with any similarities, it's the fact that both of us do have two young children who are really the people that rule the roost at our households, and things have changed. Now, Aiden, we used to have a podcast together. I'll just draw on this for just a quick minute. Do you remember that?
We've dabbled in the pod arena. Yes. The first incarnation of a podcast. I think it was the first one in Australia. I'm pretty sure we were pioneers back in the 1990s. Cider House Rules. Thank you to the three people that listened to it.
Yeah. And thanks, Mum and Dad. And was it your mum or your dad? Was it the third?
No, they've never listened to anything I've ever produced. I work on radio every day of the week and they have never listened to that, nor a podcast. I've recorded hundreds of them, but they did listen to a podcast suggestion that I sent through to my dad about Eric Clapton once. I wasn't on it, but he worked out how to download a podcast to listen to that. Not for his son, but for a music artist that he loves.
So, I mean, look, basically by like, that's 2 degrees of separation, or I'm sure you could find 3 or 4 degrees that he's sort of listened to you.
By proxy. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I also wanted to draw on the fact, you said it was called Cider House Rules. And mm-hmm. I think it is a good juxtapose from where we were 10 years ago when we had the Cider House Rules. And we are discussing our ciders of the week and what we've been up to and our trips around Geelong and Melbourne and all our social events to where we're at now, where this is an episode that really just encapsulates what our life is about, and it's about being dads.
Yeah, the hair's a little thinner. We're not having as much sleep as we used to, and times have changed.
Yeah, I've got a few more grays, but that's okay. I'll lean into my silver fox appearance that is slowly eking through.
You're listening to The Dad's Guide.
Now, we are going to look at one topic per week. We're going to discuss the ins and outs of this topic and hopefully along the way provide some assistance, although it's very possible that we won't do that. And the other thing we're going to do is episode to episode, we'll change who's in charge and who's in the driver's seat. And today it is myself bumbling my way through this topic. And I want to introduce this topic because it's something that's close to my heart. It is children's snacks.
Wait, can we just clarify, is children's snacks close to your heart or just snacks in general? Like, do they have to come in a little packet and have a smiley face on the front?
Well, yes, good pickup. Snacks in general is definitely a topic that I'd be very keen on.
Me too.
But specifically being the dad's guide, we have to look at children's snacks and what's appropriate for children, which, as we know, sugar content and the likes, as you get older, it apparently becomes okay. And that is something that children look forward to when they're older, is having as many sugary treats as they would like. Now, Aiden, I thought we could call this episode Snacks, and it'd be quite brief. Episode 1, Snacks. But on the other hand, wouldn't it be interesting if we challenge each other every episode to come up with a title that somehow incorporates an old movie with the topic? What do you think of that?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in. I'm keen. Let's do it. Our first game on the podcast. I like it.
Yeah. So I've got a few to get the ball rolling. Or do you have any prepared by chance?
How about you go first and I'll see if I can play along with you.
Okay. Well, I came
we
up
said
with
notes, but I'm not prepared.
Look, I've got a few to get us started. First of all, I thought snacks on a plane.
Sure. Who doesn't want some mother effing snacks on a plane?
Yeah, as Samuel L. Jackson would say, snacks on a plane. But I didn't want to limit it to being just on a plane, and it might be misleading.
Sure.
If we ever get the chance to go on a plane again, then that might be something we look at in the year 2035 to 40, somewhere around there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So my second one, a little play on an 80s classic. I say it's an 80s classic. I've never actually seen it before. I just IMDb'd and thought, oh, yeah, I could put snack in there. Instead of say anything, what about snack anything?
Oh, I like it. Can I follow up on this?
Yes, you may.
You've never seen Say Anything?
No, I haven't.
One of John Cusack's best. It's like an emo classic, like for all those like heartbroken guys that are just pining after a girl that's clearly out of their league. And it's magical. Yeah. Highly recommend it. Not for kids.
Just for adults.
Yeah.
And I mean, was that like the first one for John Cusack? And then for the next 20 years, he was that character.
Typecast. Yeah. He plays a very similar character in High Fidelity. It could literally be number one and number two if you were lining them up. Can I put my hand up? Can I have a turn?
Of course you can.
All right. I'm thinking, look, this might not be so relevant now, but maybe when we're eating some snacks from the past, maybe we're eating some snacks from the future. Maybe it's Snack to the Future.
I like it.
We all saw that coming a mile away, but I think it works.
Well, it does work. It does. You sit in a car, you chow down as many snacks as you can while you're sitting in that car, and then you walk out of it and you're in the future.
Mm.
And that's just life, isn't it? That is actually what it's like driving around our mid-size SUVs with snacks in the back, but we'll get to that.
Or do we just take tablets? Isn't that what they do? Is that what's in number two where they just have like a... Oh, no, that's Matrix.
What?
Oh, anyway.
I got a bit confused there. I thought you were saying that we just drug our children.
No.
We just give them tablets when it's a long road trip.
When teething kicks in, I'll do anything to keep those kids happy. Crush something up in some peanut butter. I wouldn't put it past me.
Okay. I've got one more.
Okay. Hit me.
This is the one that I was most proud of.
Okay.
I'm most chuffed with this. And it is a classic. And it doesn't have Samuel L. Jackson, but it does involve Morgan Freeman. How about The Sure Snack Redemption?
So in this movie, are they trying to smuggle in the snacks to the jail? It's not so much about breaking out. It's just more about getting in some chips and chocolate bars that we can eat.
Correct. That's how they earn their redemption, by getting snacks for everyone else in the jail.
Yeah. Well, there is always in every prison film, there is that guy that can smuggle in anything. Like there's got a cheeseburger taped under one arm type thing.
Exactly. The Sure Snack Redemption.
Coming to a cinema near you, or probably not a cinema, straight to direct movies on Disney Plus this weekend.
Now, Disney Plus might even be pushing it. I don't think Disney would be putting too much money into the Sure Snack Redemption. I think it's more of a something that the Wayans brothers would put some time and money into.
Oh, so this is going to Amazon Plus or one of the other lower ranking?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Amazon Prime for sure. Hey, Aiden.
Hit me. Yeah. What's going on? What's happening? Talk to me, Matt.
I was just going to say, how about enough with the dilly-dallying to come up with the title? I'll put all of those options we've just said on one of those random spin wheel generators and see which one it picks.
Yeah. Let's do it. Obviously, this is our first podcast. We're just rolling with it. We'll come up with a format eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But for the meantime, this is a good idea.
I'm not actually going to say what it is. I'm just going to do this in post. I'm just going to sit there by myself. You can hang around if you want, but don't feel pressured. And I'll just spin that wheel. And then, you know, you might find out what the episode title was.
Time for some tips.
All right. So what's your first tip, Matt? What are you throwing out there for all of the dads when it comes to snacks?
Well, the first tip is mainly it's about looking good. Looking good to the public, looking like you own this, you know what's going on. And so my first tip is a very simple one. Whenever you set up the snack box for the morning, it's very important that you remove any pre-packaged snack, e.g. a muesli bar, your little packet of rice crackers, whatever it might be, remove the food from the packaging and just chuck it in the bento box. Because I don't know why, but it just looks healthier and less people will judge you if they don't see packaging. If they just see that crisp bento box with nicely laid out snacks in all corners of the box.
Now, for those that are playing along from home that may not know what a bento box is, Matt, it's a lunch box that's more fancy and you pay triple the price.
Well, that's pretty much it. you're paying a little bit more for a couple of sort of dividers, so to speak.
Sort of segments up the lunchbox so that you can, and that usually you'll have a round one that you put yogurt in and you can sort of seal it shut a bit.
Yes, you can do that for sure. You can have your yogurt in a separate container, or I try to avoid any yogurty like foods when we're going out snacking. I save that mess for the home front.
Sure.
With a tarp underneath. It's
trap for young players.
It really is. It really is.
So have you been judged? Is this a tip that's come out of experience? Have you been on the playground and spotted parents looking at you going, oh, look at that guy with all of his processed food?
Great question. Now, I haven't been personally judged in a negative perspective. This is something that I just got onto quite early. I actually got onto it to begin with because it allows me to divide the snacks between two snack boxes instead of giving both we didn't even mention at the start how old our kids are.
It's relevant. Yeah. Maybe throw that in now. Yeah for sure.
So I've got a newly crowned 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, both boys. How about yourself, Aiden?
Yeah, so I'm rolling with a 4.5-year-old and a 18-month-old. Again, both boys and both a handful. Yes.
Yeah, they do keep us on our toes. And so what I found was in being able to divide between the two, and actually you're also saving money on snacks because there is a lot of snack wastage. But back to the story, my most positive story of removing the rice crackers, and I even chopped a muesli bar in two and whacked it in one of those tight little squares in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Was on a daddy daycare day, heading down to the grocery store, rocking the double pram. This is a couple of years ago, with two bento boxes filled with previously packaged but now unpackaged snacks, and getting a lot of positive feedback. Generally from grandmas, at least a couple going, oh, they're enjoying those snacks. Oh, look at nice and I think someone even used the term, oh, that's nice and healthy. And I was like, I don't think I would have got the nice and healthy.
Yeah.
If they were still had the Uncle Toby's wrapper around the muesli bar.
Do you know what? I don't think you would have got the praise as well if you were a female. It's reverse sexism. Yes, anytime totally. A dad does anything that's good, everyone's like, oh, wow, isn't he a good dad?
Yes, yes. I was going to say, I told my wife that story and I still remember. Yeah, great. Well, that's just me every day.
Yeah.
Never get that positive feedback. Yeah.
High five for being a dad.
Yeah.
Best deal.
Look, I think this will be a regular theme that we'll be able to point out things that we get praised for, that our better halves do not.
That's a good tip, Dad.
My tip actually comes absolutely reverse to you. So to peel back the curtains of the podcast, we're recording in different states. So,
yes.
Matt, you are over in Victoria under the Dictator Dan regime. Mm-hmm. I'm over in South Australia where the pandemic is not the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah,
we've got something much bigger to deal with.
Well, I was going to say I couldn't even butt in with the name of your premier, so can't be political. I don't know who that is.
Hello to our Lord Mayor Stephen Marshall. No, wait, not Lord Mayor, Premier, whatever. It's Stephen Marshall's his name. So, yeah, the rest of the world, they were all worried about this pandemic. Sure, it's a big deal, whatever.
Yep.
But for us in South Australia, we've got bigger fish to fry. We have fruit flies.
Fruit flies?
Yeah, fruit flies. We take it very seriously. It's you pesky Victorians that send over your filthy fruit. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but we're under a strict regime of our own when it comes to snacks in public.
No, I have absolutely no idea about this. What's going on?
No, so this is legit. There's been letters that have gone home from schools. It's been all over the news. There's rules when it comes to schools and kindergartens and public playgrounds, anywhere, actually office places as well, anywhere that you bring fruit, you are not allowed to. Fruit is banned across our state if it's outside of a package. So my tip for everyone in South Australia is don't worry about fruit. Just ditch your fruit because we can't have fruit at the moment. You cannot eat healthy. You cannot encourage your kids to eat healthy. You have to have packaged fruit.
Packaged fruit. Berries are packaged. Do you have to give them the punnet? They can't just have individual.
Matthew. You just mentioned a fruit that's banned. Get out. No, we're talking, it's got to be in a packet. I'm 100% serious. You cannot bring this stuff to kinders, to playgrounds. Everyone looks at you like you're the devil, like you've just brought in the bubonic plague into their system. Everyone's paranoid that there's going to be some kind of maggot or something festering in this pretty looking banana. It's all for sale in the shop still though, still all there, but you have to eat it in like a dark room and put down all the windows so nobody sees you eat it in the safety of your own home.
Okay, so I'll put out a few scenarios there and you'll just shut me down.
Yeah.
Apple in a Glad bag.
No. What are you doing? No, get out. No. Leave the state.
What about a banana wrapped in foil?
No, mate, that sounds like the idea of a man wearing a tinfoil hat. You cannot be doing that kind of behavior. No fresh fruit. Now, the one exception, and I cannot get my head around this, is you are allowed to bring melons.
I was going to say, melons? Something in my head tell me watermelon was going to be okay.
Yeah. But have you ever tried, it's got to be it's got to be sealed.
Whole. It's so got to be whole.
Whole, so you've got to bring the whole watermelon to a playground or to kinder. So when like your 4.5-year-old's walking to kinder with a giant watermelon weighing down his backpack, that's thanks to our government. That's what's going on at the moment.
Has that become a thing? Kids are taking watermelons to kinder? Daycare?
Yeah, a daycare. I had to buy 5 melons for the week. We went with Honeydew because I think they were the cheapest this week. And I'm sending a melon in for my 18-month-old. The melon's bigger than his head. Like, it's just ridiculous. That's what we're dealing with.
And also then what? Are they only like, if you can't actually expose the inside of the melon, are they just like cutting a little hole out and chucking a straw in there and they're trying to slurp it out, or what's?
I'm presuming, like, I haven't been to the daycare in a while. My wife does the drop off, but I'm presuming, like, in my mind, they're pretty much running a ball pit over there with just melons. Like, it's just all the excess melons from all the little kids that can't finish all their melon. They've got some Wilsons, they've got all sorts of scenarios. They're playing basketball with them. There's an excess amount of melons that are taking over this daycare. Because, I mean, you know, like, how much are they really eating each day of a melon?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other thought is, are they on like a black market melon type scenario where the daycares are just collecting melons and then selling them on the black market?
Maybe
as a fundraiser.
Maybe some kind of conspiracy theme. Yeah, potentially. But it's so funny, like, you have this judgment, like, up until the last couple of weeks here in South Australia, like in normal everyday life, you have this judgment by other parents, you know, you pull out your cake or whatever, and, oh, we really should be eating fruit first or whatever. It's the absolute reverse at the moment. Like, you get the judgment for, you cannot get your kids to eat healthy because you've got fruit. Whoa, you are the worst. So we're like finding subtle ways, almost like to just slip fruit in. Like it's hidden. Like, oh, it's just a jelly. It's just a jelly cup with hidden fruit in there. Oh, like this is like secret little ways. We'll stew up the apples and then send it like, oh no, it's just some porridge. But
yeah, right.
Hidden fruit.
So yeah, in Victoria, we're, you know, dealing with the whole dictator Dan lockdown, sneaking out, whatever. And for you guys, it's a completely different mindset. How can I sneak fresh fruit into my child?
How can I find ways to get the fruit out there amongst the community without judgment? So my tip is, cooking it. Cooking it has been pretty good in our house. We'll cook it up at home and then put it in little containers.
Yep.
I say we. It's mostly my wife. She's doing an amazing job.
How about another tip?
Have you got another tip for us, Matthew?
I do. This is one that I learnt early on in parenting. As soon as the snack box started, this was something that came to the fore. It wasn't something that as a teenager, as a young adult, I ever thought about or ever thought I'd have a need for. But what I've found is don't be afraid to include a snack or two that you know doesn't particularly interest your child but might come in handy for yourself at some point.
What's an example?
During the day.
What would it be a snack that your kid wouldn't want but you would?
Well, for example, Finn, my oldest, he loves blueberries and he will eat a heap of blueberries, which is fine. That's great. Good on him. Lots of antioxidants flowing through his veins. But my youngest, Toby, doesn't like the blueberries and he won't eat them. He just won't touch them. Now, I could choose to put something different in Toby's bento box, a different fruit, a different berry. But sometimes I will chuck in a little handful of blueberries as well because I know that will go untouched. And I offered him, I gave him the opportunity to try those blueberries again. He didn't do it. Oh, well, I might have to snack on them during the course of the day.
Right. So you're almost playing them off each other with what they like and what they dislike. For me, I'll just say something spicy. Like there might be some biscuits in the thing and I'll go, oh, they're a bit spicy, mate. You won't like those. I better have those.
I mean, I put them in at the start knowing they were spicy.
Really, Dad? Those chocolate biscuits are spicy? Yeah, mate. They're chili chocolate ones. Oh, yeah, no, I better have those.
My bad. Sorry, I didn't read the packet. I didn't realize. I don't remember as a child spicy being such a thing.
Mm.
But then I suppose as I reminisce on what it was like growing up in the 80s, 90s as a child, teenager, I don't think parents' cooking was that adventurous.
Potentially.
Nowadays, you wouldn't have things like ham steak and pineapple as a staple on your weekly. You know, the spiciest we got was sweet and sour chicken in a Canton jar.
Here's what I'm learning, though. As an adult, I had no idea, but I just thought spice was a measure of heat within a food or something. But I'm learning that other things can be spicy, like mint-flavored things can be too spicy.
Yeah, right.
Spicy pineapple. A pineapple can be a bit spicy for my son, apparently.
Yeah, right.
So there's levels of spice that I was unaware of with my small little adult mind.
Spice is a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as far as we knew back in the 90s, spice was all about scary, sporty, posh.
Oh, hey. I see what you did there.
And you know what? I'm allowed to because this is the dad's guide and surely we have just a free rein on dad's jokes.
Yeah. I think it should, like, you know, when you download a podcast on iTunes or Spotify or something and have like a little E beside it for like explicit language. I feel like this podcast needs a little D beside it for like dad joke. Like that's guaranteed there's going to be a few in here.
I'm glad you clarified that because I was getting a little concerned when you said it needs a little D beside it.
I'd love to say it'd be a big D, but it'd be a small D. Yeah.
We're being realistic.
Can I bring another tip to the table?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So, if we were one of those big fancy podcasts where we had the exclusive rights to a whole lot of music and different things,
yes,
this is where we would play Know When to Hold 'Em, Know When to Fold 'Em by Kenny Rogers.
Yes. Yeah. The Gambler.
Yeah. Great song. This is my tip for snacks. Keep your cards close. Don't reveal everything you've got at first. So that way you can get them to eat the dud snacks, you know, like the things that you want them to eat, the things that are actually good for them.
Yep.
And then, oh, you finished all that. Oh, there's another little container down here. Oh, I've just found the muffins. Oh, I've just found the sugar-filled treat. But if they see that straight away, there's no chance they're going to go straight for the celery sticks. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I understand that. I definitely understand that. When you put everything out there in the one snack box, inevitably it's like the peanut butter chocolate muesli bar that goes first, or
yes,
it's the strawberries, or it's cheese. I don't know about your boys, but my boys just love cheese. They'll just go into the cheese.
Yeah, my son's a snob when it comes to cheese, though. It needs to be a nice triple camembert brie or something. I'm not even joking.
Aren't they two different types of cheeses?
Oh, that's how much I'm not the snob. He would know. He'd tell me all about it. He'd be, no, Dad, it needs to be a nice blue vein such and such.
Oh.
All right, buddy.
If it doesn't come with a rind, I'm not eating it.
But you, like, it's similar to back in the day. Like when you present that lunchbox, the kids, like, eyes are darting from which side to which side. Oh, what do I want for? What am I going for first? In the same way, when we would go to Sizzler or Smorgies, you're not lining up for some
straight
areas.
To the soft
serve. You're going straight for the fresh pancakes or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same for us.
Yeah. No, I do get that. I've got to ask, has there been any point where they just know that there's better and they're like, come on, Dad?
I'm sure they will reach
down there.
I'm sure they will reach that age of enlightenment. There have been a few moments where Jethro, my oldest, will say just randomly, like, we'll just happen to be, it'll be a hot day or something, and he'll go, so, like, he'll be looking through the lunchbox or the snack box or whatever, and he'll be like, I really want something cold.
Oh,
is there anything
yes.
cold? And I'm yes. like, what did you have in mind, mate? I've got some cold water here. Nah, I was thinking colder. Do you have colder? And I'm like, so really, you want to ask for ice cream, but you know you're not allowed to ask for ice cream, or it would be seen as greedy. So you're looking for subtle ways to ask.
Yes.
Without just throwing it all out there, I guess.
That just must be a line that you subliminally know from an early age, because Finn, to the letter, uses that exact same thing. Feeling really hot. I think I need something cold.
Mm.
I need something really cold. No, well, no, mate, I don't have an icy pole or an ice cream in the backpack.
Yeah.
And you know that.
That's the thing. They're not at that age where they realize that different things need to be kept in different temperatures. They're not twigging to that yet. They're just twigging to that there could be a possibility of something cold somewhere. I'm keen for some cold. Let's get some cold happening.
Yeah. Which, you know, 20 years down the track, if you're saying that, yeah, you know, you've got a bit of a problem.
I think that's ice when we're being really specific.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's something that we will hopefully never have to deal with.
I don't think we'll be doing an ice episode of the Dad's Podcast. I don't think that
will be coming up at all.
Hopefully not. Fingers crossed. And who knows? The 2030 release of the podcast, who knows?
Could be quite grim.
Warning, warning, warning.
So there's our tips. But it wouldn't be a podcast and it wouldn't be the Dad's Guide if after the tips we had some little warnings to go as well. This is sort of the things that we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't do this. Never do this. Well, my first warning, my first thing that you need to be aware of, I've only got one and we'll only have one. Is that right? Have you got one after this?
I've got one. Yeah. In my back pocket. It's sitting here ready.
Yeah. Lovely. Well, mine is pretty simple. Never leave the house without packing some form of snack. It doesn't matter how short the trip, even if you're going to buy food itself, 5 minutes up the road to go to Baker's Delight, whatever the occasion, just never be caught out of the house without some form of snack.
This is a great one, and I wish you had have told me this yesterday. If this was the if the title that is selected for this podcast is Snack to the Future, this would work in perfectly because yesterday night we went out for dinner and like booked at the right time for kids to be able to eat and things. But you don't factor in that, you know, like they're going to be sitting there for half an hour until the meal comes. And so that, you know, they're just getting more and more bored, more and more hungry, more and more chaotic. And so one of them bangs their head on the table in front of them because they slip on their chair. And that would have been avoided if I had a snack or two just sitting there, keeping them quiet.
Yeah. Something I learned from an early age. Well, I mean, not personally. I mean, from an early age of the children.
An early dad age.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. Just you just need to take those snacks, especially when you're going to cafes, because those coffees can take a little while to come out. The bubbachino, the anticipation, the waiting. Boom, there's your box. Have some biscuits and cheese. Have a Vegemite wrap, whatever it might be. And you can just cool your jets. You can be a bit calmer.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're taken care of. And I don't think there's any judgment. I think everyone sort of expects that it's okay.
I can get away with it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Warning, warning.
My word of warning, you touched on earlier to do with yogurt out in public. And we would never, you know, have like some kind of yogurty beverage or gooey type thing for kids to eat in public because you know that it's going to spill anywhere. But don't underestimate drool. And the younger the kid, the more drool that's going to come out. So I wouldn't think I would need wipes or a bib or anything to wipe up the particular snacks that I had the other day. It was just like we'd made like these bliss balls that were really just like
dates,
you know, yeah,
dates
like
and cocoa,
dates and dates, cocoa and honey.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But when you mix that with a teething child, the drool was just like brown dripping down his T-shirt. And I'm like, oh, I should have thought this through. I didn't think I needed all the things to clean up after the snacks because I'm like, oh, yeah, these are all fine. They're not gooey snacks. We're fine. But he made them gooey. So
that is amazing.
That's my warning.
Yeah, no, that's a great warning. It is amazing the ability of a child to turn something that you thought was quite a firm, hard snack into some sort of creamy drool that just drips either side of the mouth while they're chewing.
You've made it too visual. I'm getting grossed out. Stop it. That's the thought of yuck. Yeah. I still get grossed out by things on my kid's face. And I'm like, they're my own kids. Like I thought I would be over this by this point.
Oh, I mean, this is not about snacks, but even tonight at dinner time, I gave Toby a fork for his mashed potatoes, but he decided to scoop it up with his mouth. And scoop it with his hand and just shove it straight in his mouth, which apparently that's all good. That's what you do. Let them learn how to feed themselves. Which I'll admit it. Sometimes it's hard for me. I just want to grab the fork and feed. And I know that my mum's the same when she looks after the boys. That's how she feeds Toby with a little spoon and he just sits back and takes it. But anyway, tonight he was smushing the mashed potatoes into his mouth, but leaving it on his hand, half of it on his hand. And then he like got a little bit of a laugh from Finn. So Toby just got a handful of mashed potatoes and smashed it on his face and then just rubbed it around. And I was like, what is this? And it was up his nose.
And you've got to physically put something up there to get it out.
I know.
It's not coming out on its own. They're not great at blowing their nose.
No. They don't know about the Bushman's hanky. That's something they'll learn later on in life. Yeah, so
that's episode 3 or 4.
Yeah, totally. A whole episode devoted to the Bushman's hanky. Whoever coined that phrase. It's a great phrase. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I do understand the whole dribble. I don't want to make it too visual, but peanut butter is the other thing that Toby can churn into some creamy drool as well.
It's a good note to end on, Matt. That's good.
Yeah, it's a great note to end on. Creamy drool.
You're listening to The Dad's Guide.
Thanks for joining us. We do have an email address that we would love to get some correspondence from at some point in time. And it's thedadsguidepodcast@gmail.com. This is an official email address, Aiden. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah, so I would encourage people to send through their tips, their warnings when it comes to snacks, but also like future topics that you think that you would like a bit of guidance on. I'm not saying we'll be able to offer any suggestions, but, you know, we'll do our best and it'll be good to hear your thoughts and things.
It would be great to hear those thoughts. We've also set up an Instagram at it's the Dad's Guide podcast. And also we'll include a link to that in our show notes, as we will to our email. Again, Aiden, what do you think you should be doing with the Instagram?
Well, I first want to know what we're going to be using the Instagram for. Is it going to be like very similar to a mummy blog? Will there be us posing in like some kind of bikini with an apron over the top and then holding a product that we've apparently given our kids, but we got it for free and it's not really relevant. It's really just a shot of our cleavage, but we're using it to sell this particular product. Are we working that kind of market?
That's what I'm aiming to do. I have been working on my cleavage over the last 12 months.
Good.
The old lockdown KGs have really, you know, benefited my ability to add an extra cup size or two to the front of my chest. If you've had any inkling of enjoyment listening to this, we would also love it if you gave us a review, a positive review on whatever platform.
If there was some kind of gauge for, let's say, I don't know, maybe like moons or maybe stars. Let's go with stars. If there was some kind of star rating, how many stars would you encourage listeners to give us?
Now, if the maximum was 5, then...
Yep.
I think you just have to go with 5, wouldn't you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think 5 moons or stars, I don't mind which, but I think 5 would be appropriate.
Yep, 5 bento boxes. Have you thought about a topic for next time, Aiden?
Yes, I have a suggestion of a topic. I want to throw this past you. I would like to talk about swimming lessons and the pool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that goes on there. There's a lot that we need to unpack about that.
All right. So that's a bit of sizzle for the next episode. If that doesn't get you subscribing now, I don't know what will. Ooh, an anecdote about the pool. What will they say next?
Oh, okay. I don't know how to wrap this up. What can you tell me? How do we wrap these things up? You're the professional.
Oh, good thought. There should be some kind of catchphrase or some kind of... lasting note to finish on, like, you know, I got nothing. No, we'll work on that. Next episode, we'll have something for you. I will have a way to close the show. That's another bit of sizzle. So much sizzle for next episode. Next time.
And then we'll just do, this is when the music started. The outro.
Yeah, it's trailing.
Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got no choice, but we've got to go. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Pass me my snack.
Andy Dufresne was convicted and sent to prison in 1947. Why'd you do it?
I didn't.
Huh. You're gonna fit right in here. I didn't think much of his eating habits at first, but then I realized something. He always had food.
There's something they can't take away from me.
What? Hope?
No, my snacks.
Snacking is a dangerous thing.
Damn it, Dufresne. Your Scroggins gonna get us all in trouble one of these days.
Snacks can drive a man insane. Or they can be the one thing that sets them free. The Shore Snack Redemption.